I finish up this Sunday with the, I've been using this idea of the great American stories. And the last couple, 3 weeks, sort of no-namers, not your typical American heroes, and that's on purpose. I wanted to try to introduce you to some folks who are a little less well-known. And today we're going to look at a whole group of guys, 56 actually, talking about the signers of the Declaration since today's 4th of July weekend. And let me say, with all the other stuff going on, I appreciate you coming out, being a part of the service with us this morning. I realize there's a whole lot of other stuff going on, some stuff later on today that you're going from here to there, and I appreciate you stopping in and worshiping with us this morning. But I want to talk to you about the Declaration of Independence. July 4th, 1776, 56 men gathered together, and I want to pick out just a couple of them, sort of the no-namers, some you very well know. Out of this 56 men, and some you won't remember even after this morning, and I'm not going to quote them all. I'm not going to try to get you to memorize all of them. In fact, I want to talk about them as a group. But before we do that, let's just see how many we can come up with on our own. The signers, go ahead. You have to say a little louder, like you're confident that you're right. Thomas Jefferson. Benjamin Franklin. Who? This side over here. Let's go over here first. We'll drain this pool first. What? Hancock. John Hancock. George Washington. No. George White. No. John Adams. Not John Quincy Adams. All right, here. They took all the easy ones, right? Ben Franklin. Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, the normal ones, and then obviously John Hancock, George White. There's about four or five Georges. Actually, if you just say George like that, and then somebody will sort of maybe fill in the last name in for you. There was a bunch of Georges. Who else? Samuel Adams? No. Almost. William Williams. Who said William Williams? Oh, you would read my book. My wife, I thought, man, there we got a William Williams. I think you actually knew that beforehand because you were telling me that. Somebody with a double name. Just remember William Williams. And then Mr. Whipple. Remember Mr. Whipple? There's a Whipple in this list. But 50, anybody else? Give you a chance to show off. 56 signers. Now, here's the interesting thing. Some of them that actually voted for independence didn't get a chance to actually sign the document. We like our history sort of like real nice and neat. The fact of the matter is they voted on July 2nd, 1776 to declare our independence. John Hancock signed first, and then his secretary. John was the president of the Continental Convention, the Congress, and so he signed, and then the secretary signed, and actually it stayed unsigned by all the other guys for another whole month. And so the rest of them, what we're mostly familiar with, the signatures down at the bottom, this big declaration, all those signatures down there, it stayed blank for well over a month. Fact is, there's a couple of guys that didn't sign for several months later. Some were interested and excited, and you see the big John Hancock, and that's where the adage or whatever, hey, put your John Hancock right here, because he was noted to say, he had heard that King George had bad eyesight, so make sure he sees this. Now, he was quite bold and brazen and didn't mind signing. Other guys didn't really want to sign. In fact, some of the guys who voted for independence were different names than the guys who actually signed, because a month later, some of them couldn't make it back to the convention. They had to send other representatives for them. So some of these guys who signed a month earlier wasn't there to actually vote for independence itself. But this is our Declaration of Independence. And 1776, on July 2nd, they voted for it. July 4th is when it got dated, and July 4th is sort of the date that sticks in all of our minds as that moment. It was signed by most all of them a month later, and then signed by a couple several months later. But it's a tremendous document. mostly drafted by Thomas Jefferson, and then the rest of them sort of got to put their little things here and there. But it is the reason why they're breaking with England. And so this is their declaration. So it is when in the course of human events, one people, now I'm not quoting it obviously, but one people see it fit to break bands with another. It's altogether right and fitting that we should give reasons why we are separating and declaring our independence. And that's what the declaration is all about. And they just go down sort of line upon line about all the grievances that they have against the king. And this is why we're declaring it. And we're breaking. And so if you can imagine, this is not one nation declaring war upon another nation. This is a nation declaring its independence from its own nation. And so this is, they're Englishmen. And they're saying, no more. We don't want to be under the king. We want to be our own people. And it's quite an amazing document. Not just the document, but the whole idea that we would do this at that time. And then they signatures, 56, these were representatives from the 13 colonies. And so they sent men up there and they all signed. And toward the end of the document, it says, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Flowery speech, but they absolutely meant it. Some of them signing the declaration sort of catapulted them, sort of their political careers. And a couple of them, as you know, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams would eventually go on to be presidents of the United States. Some of them lost everything, absolutely everything. Some of them, because they signed the declaration, were not much happened because of that. And then at the other hand, some of them lost everything they had simply because they signed the Declaration of Independence. And so not knowing how the whole thing's going to turn out and what's going to happen to you, you've got a document here in front of you. And basically what you're saying is, now, you got to understand, England, Britain saw all those signers and any patriot as a rebel. And so they saw them all as traitors, absolute traitors. And so they were, you know, put yourself in their shoes for just a minute. Here we got this document to our own country that says we no longer want to be under your rule, your reign. We no longer want to be guided by you, and we're declaring our independence from you, knowing that that document in and of itself is traitorous. And if you would just go ahead and sign that then, and go ahead and put your name down there that you believe this, and you believe all these grievances, knowing that this document is going to go under the hand not of a president who is guided by this big constitution. You know, us thinking now today, yeah, man, I'd stand up, I'd say this to the president or the governor or the senator, and I'd let them know that's who I am, and I wouldn't mind signing it. That's because you've got the protection of the Constitution to say what you want to say, not have fear that they're. But you're signing a document to a king. Who is still sort of structured by some law, but nonetheless a powerful, not the kind of kings we see on TV today, who is just king in name or a prince in name now. No, these kings had real power. Fact is, this king was the most powerful human being on the planet at the time. Who was in charge of the most powerful army on the planet at the time. And so now here we got a document that says, I don't like anything you're doing. And I think you're treating us as all in all this, I mean, just negative, 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 negative. And then here, stick your name right there at the bottom, and we're gonna show this to the king. Some say that was one of the reasons that they were a little hesitant, and it took a month for everybody to sign it. Some historians say that they were hoping that it would have just, you know, they all voted for it. And that's one thing to vote for it in a sort of a secret room. It's another thing when you stick your name at the bottom. And yet they did. And 56 of them did. Let me tell you just a little bit about just a couple of them. Thomas, or a fellow by the name of John Hart, he had 13 kids, and his wife was dying at the time. And yet they were looking for him. Obviously, they took this list of traitorous names. I mean, if you're going to make an example out of anybody, out of these rebels, then let's just start with the guys who signed the Declaration. And so they go hunting these fellows. Hart's wife was dying at the time, and he was, I mean, literally on her bedside. 13 kids, they came in, and what they would have done was would have probably hung him in front of their family. And so he takes off, comes back, and his wife dies in the meantime. His kids get all scattered abroad, and the truth of the matter is he dies of a broken heart several weeks later. Lost it all. Francis Lewis, his home was destroyed, and his wife was jailed because of it, because he wouldn't turn himself in. And then a fellow by the name of Thomas Nelson, Jr., an interesting story, is a Virginian, and he was one of the signers. And he, same thing, they come after him, he has to leave his home. He hooks up with George Washington, runs around, and stays with Washington a little while. Come to find out, Cornwallis, the English general, is moving through Virginia and sets up headquarters in Nelson's house. The Patriots come in to start firing upon the British, but Cornwallis has set up headquarters in Nelson's house. Washington doesn't want to fire upon them because, hey, that's this guy's house. So he calls for Nelson, and Nelson comes up to the comes up beside Washington, and he asked Nelson if he would give the command. And so if you can imagine standing back on this home that you've built, probably passed down from generation to generation. There's the barns, there's the fields, there's this, there's that, and setting up on this ridge. And you got this line of cannons over here and a line of cannons over here. And it's going to be your word given that's going to fire upon your own home. And Washington didn't want to do it without his approval. And Thomas Nelson, Jr. gave that approval. Thomas was the one that gave the command to fire upon his own home, and said that he sat and watched his own home burn to the ground at his command, because they mutually pledged to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Little simple thought for you this morning. Number one, I just wanted to mention the 56 men, signers of the Declaration of Independence. I want to encourage you. You can Google it. There's a great little app for American documents. You can put your hands on a copy of it within the next 10 minutes after you leave here. But you need to read it. Fact is, I mean, it just seems to be the thing to do. Now, get an American copy of it. I say American, a modernized copy of it, because sometimes in the old print, the F's look like S's and so on and so forth, and you'll enjoy reading it more when you can sort of flow with it. But it is an amazing document. And it's our birth certificate for this big, beautiful, wonderful, wild country of ours. And down at the bottom, you'll not be able to really read or be able to make out all those signatures, but realize there were 56 men who were backed by thousands of colonists that said, we want to be independent. And they were. And they did. And they pledged their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor, and many of them lost all of it. So my thought to you this morning is real simple. Actually, it's a prayer for you. I call what those men did and moments like that an Esther moment. Esther is that Bible character in the scriptures where she was this beautiful queen. She was a Jew, and her husband was a pagan king and didn't know she was a Jew. And got word that that king is going to give command to have many of the Jews killed. Esther's uncle comes to her and says, you got to say something to the king. And Esther says, I haven't been invited in to speak to the king. And back in that day, if you come to the king unannounced, you could lose your life. And so Mordecai says to Esther, you got to do something. If you don't do something, we're all going to perish. And so in the book of Esther, in chapter 14, and verse 16, it says, for if thou altogether hold your peace at this time, then the enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. In other words, God's going to use somebody for this moment. And this was the uncle's reasoning to Esther. But you and your father's house shall be destroyed if you don't speak up. And then he says this, he asks this question, who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? In other words, Esther, this may be the very reason you're here. This may be the very reason that you were sort of in that you won the beauty pageant. This might just be the very reason that the king took liking to you. This might be the very reason that he caught your eye. And who knows what he'll say? Who knows what he'll do? But what we do know, Esther, is if you do not do something, we're all going to perish. And so it may just be, Esther, that this was why you're here. And Esther then said in verse 16, and so will I go in unto the king? Yes, which is not according to the law. In other words, I know that I'm breaking the law by doing it. And if I perish, I perish. My prayer for you this morning is that somewhere along the line, and this is what I contend everybody on some level will. Somewhere along in your life, it may not get worldwide attention. It may not be recorded in the scriptures. We may not be reading the story 200 years later. It may not be a sort of an encyclopedia kind of a thing where you get your name put down in print or up in lights. Stories may not be written about you, but I firmly believe this with all my heart, that everybody somewhere in your life is going to experience an Esther kind of a moment. It is a moment where you can stand up for something. It's a moment where your name can be counted. It's a moment where you get a chance to make a difference. It might not, and again, it may not be worldwide. It may not shape countries. It may just affect your home. It may have just an influence around your family with your kids. But everybody gets a chance to have an Esther moment. That kind of moment to where you say, this is right. Something needs to be done. Something needs to be said. And it would be great if we had a couple hundred folks to sort of line up here with me, but it looks like I might be the only one. Just like those men who signed the declaration. Wouldn't it be great if we could just have petitions of thousands and thousands of people so your name sort of gets lost in this big stack of other names? I mean, 56 names on the bottom of a piece of paper. I mean, they're going to know who we are. I think that's one of the reasons that Hancock realized, you know, they're going to know who I am anyway. And so I might as well make sure my name is large enough for everybody to see. But my prayer for you is that you recognize your Esther moment and you take advantage of it and you allow your name to be counted. You allow your influence to be used. Because those are the kinds of moments to where you really feel more alive than any other time. And it may be an injustice that you see around you. And it may be a direction or a way of life to where you say, you know what? Somebody needs to do something here. And I know it'd be great to have a horde of folks with me, but we ain't got them. And my name is needed. And since my name is needed, I'm going to jot it down. And whatever comes, comes. Said, preacher, I don't know that I've ever been in that kind of a moment. You will be. If you haven't already, it may be taking a stand at work. It may be taking a stand within your own family. It may be putting your name out there to your extended family. It may be taking a stand in a community. You may have to go down before the magistrates or a board of supervisors somewhere and speak up. And you would think, boy, I would love if there was 100 more like you. That would be wonderful. That 100 may never show up. The fact of the matter is, you may not win the war in the end. The truth of the matter is, when you read the stories or read the journals of most of those forefathers, many of them was just, they didn't think it would work. They didn't think they could do it, but what they knew was, as Patrick Henry said, I'd rather have death if I can't have liberty. So in other words, what they were saying is, I don't want to live this way anyway if it can't be right. And they were willing to sacrifice their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. May you experience a moment, an Esther moment in your life, to where you'll know it while you're in the moment. You'll know that this is one of those moments that I need to take a stand. This is one of those moments that I need to speak up. This is one of those moments where my name is needed. And I pray when it is, I pray you'll follow through. Would you bow your heads with me, please, for a moment?